Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother in the Lord, will be presenting to you today proposition number 85. And we are making our way closer to completing this project this new and improved 95 thesis, tailor-made for what is going on in the African-American church. And if you haven't noticed, Rome, apostate Rome, harlot church Rome, the mother of all harlots, mystery Babylon, has invaded the African-American church with the likes of a few enablers. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis to call, and why Mr. J. Delano Ellis? Well, he is the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus of the Joint College of African American Bishops, and he will tell you so. He will, if you call him, if you say, "Hey, Brother Jesse," if you call him Brother Jesse, he will put you in his place. He will remind you that you are speaking to the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. Yes, indeed. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis to call, and he loves to talk, but he doesn't like talking to us. When it comes to talking to us, he becomes Harpo Marx. The number here is 646-564-9730. 646-564-9730. And today's proposition is another one of those propositions dealing with Jude 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Prophetic denunciations to all those who, like J. Delano Ellis, has gone the way of Cain. Now, I started this cluster of propositions with proposition number 72. So from proposition 72 to now proposition 85, we have shown how J. Delano Ellis mirrors Cain. How he mirrors Cain. Well, today's proposition reads like this. Like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has established an apostate self-glorification center, Now, we've already looked at how J. Delano Ellis has turned the Joint College into an apostate center of consecration, an apostate initiation center, an apostate dedication center. But now, as we close this cluster, as we end this cluster, we must remind everybody that J. Delano Ellis has in essence turned the Joint College of African American Bishops into an apostate self-glorification center. Now, if you were to draw a contrast between the people of God and the people of the devil, the people of the devil always wind up naming things after them. For example, here in Genesis chapter 4, you have to ask yourselves, we have to ask ourselves, why did Cain name the city that he built? Why did he name it after his son? Well, Cain was revealing what his heart was really all about. Cain's heart was about what? Promoting self. That's what Cain's heart is all about. Promoting self. Notice that he names the name of the city Enoch, the same name that he gave his son. In Hebrew, this word Enoch means consecration, initiation, and dedication. All three words are akin. All three words can be substituted for the name Enoch. They're synonymous. Enoch. Again, the name, the proper noun Enoch, means dedication, consecration, initiation. And in building the city, one has to ask, why does Cain name the city after his son? Well, it reflects what is important and significant to him. What was important to Cain? What was important? What was central to Cain's existence? his progeny, his offspring, the promotion of self, the little self, the mini-me. Cain was into promoting the little mini-me's, just like Archbishop J. Delano Ellis is the archbishop, but he's got little bishops. He's got mini-me's running around, mini-me's, little vicars, if you will. Little vicars operating their little diocese. Well, this is why, again, let us turn to Mr. J. Delano Ellis's book. Let's turn to the book, The Bishopric. What an asinine book. I mean, this book is trash. This book is full of stupidity. I mean, it's just stupid. Stupid from cover to cover. He writes, in the introduction on page 13, I don't want to read all of it. Let me read some. It's going to be hard to read it because it's hard to read this gibberish, this nonsense talk, this stupid talk. But we're going to have to work through it. We're going to have to face the music here. He writes on page 13 in the introduction, when this college was ordered by the Lord, which is a lie, Jesus never ordered this college. Jesus never spoke this college into existence. He never gave a prophetic word concerning this college. When this college was ordered by the Lord, it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which we would be governed. The co-founders trusted the Lord to give us a person who would mentor us and bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ and particular glory to his church in our times. This is the only mention of Jesus in the book. There's no mention of Jesus. And this is just a lie because these people do not give glory to Jesus Christ. They don't bring honor to his name. In fact, they omit Jesus. It goes on to say, it became needful for us to adopt a code of dress and habit that would set us apart from congregationalism. In other words, congregationalism means that everybody comes dressed in a suit and in a dress or skirt and blouse. Congregationalism means that everybody on the platform is dressed the same way as everybody in the pew. Congregationalism, that the men in the pews are wearing suits, some two-piece suits, some three-piece suits, but also the people up on the platform, the preachers, the males, are wearing a two-piece, three-piece. Well, it was needful for us, he says, does J. Dillon, to adopt a code of dress and habit that will set us apart from congregationalism. We found the need to rethink the theology of the Pentecostal fathers and forge a witness that included the entire baptized body of Jesus Christ everywhere. In other words, we needed to look like the Church of Rome and the Church of England, is what he's saying. Our message had to be clear and unadulterated by the modernist. In other words, congregational dressing, he considers to be a teaching of the modernists. He wants to go back to the Middle Ages. He wants to dress the way they did in the Middle Ages, with the robes and the vestments and the plumes and the chains and the rings. He goes on to say, our theology had to be cleansed of the separatist preaching, which for more than a century kept Christians estranged from each other. Oh boy, this is so stupid, stupid, stupid. He goes on to say, it was then time to create a college for the princes of the church, the princes, P-R-I-N-C-E-S, princes, for the princes of the church, for the princes of the church. In other words, all the bishops are the princes of the church, and princes is capitalized, it's not lowercase p, but it's capital P. In other words, the highfalutin princesses. The important people in the church. It was time to create a college. Well, why didn't Jesus create it? If it was so important and it was so vital to the life and ongoing existence of the church and the vitality of the church, why didn't Jesus do it? No, Jesus didn't do it because it wasn't necessary. Jesus didn't do it because it would have been something pagan. Jesus didn't do it because he is the vine, we're the branches, we derive our life from him. And he gave to the church some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. He didn't give the church for some to be pope, for some to be cardinal, for some to be archbishop, for some to be bishop, for some to be suffragan bishops. He didn't. That's not his fivefold ministry. Jesus' fivefold ministry is not pope, cardinal, archbishop, bishop, suffragan bishop. That's not his fivefold. So J. Delano Ellis went and created something like Cain. He didn't like God's way. J. Delano Ellis didn't like God's way. So he went and created a college for the princes of the church, for the prideful in the church, for those who had despotic bents in the church, for those who aspired tyranny, for those who wanted to enslave their fellow brothers and sisters. They created a college for the princes of the church, for the peacocks of the church, for the blowhards of the church. Well, really, the jackasses of the church. Now, in his introduction, page 17, chapter 1, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbur Sterling McKinley and Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, both of Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis of Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African-American Pentecostal community. After a lengthy discussion, a telephone call was made to Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton of New Orleans, Louisiana. Bishop Morton expressed his desire to join with these men in forming this college, and Bishop Ellis was elected, just like the Pope is elected, to preside over this venture. The name chosen for this organization was the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, a.k.a. the Joint College of Bishops. My dear brothers and sisters, you see. Why does Cain name the city Enoch? For the very same reason J. Delano Ellis named this college the Joint College of African American Bishops. The name Enoch speaks of the glorifying of self. The glorifying of self. He named it after his son. J. Delano Ellis names his organization after the names of his spiritual sons and daughters. Who are his spiritual sons and daughters? The Joint College of African American Pentecostal. See, this is a new group that's forming. It's a new group. So since he's the archbishop, his offspring, his spiritual children are the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. It's not named after God. It's not dedicated to God. It's not consecrated to God. It's consecrated to the glorification of self. Of self. When they elevate a new bishop, they're glorifying that bishop, and they're encouraging that bishop now, to be in love with self. That's why these bishops join. That's why it's so easy for them to become bishop-elect for a year and to go through the training that the Joint College of African American Bishops provides, because the Joint College of African American Bishops wants everyone to walk and talk the same thing. That's what they want. So they want to make sure you get in line and that you buy into the whole program and that you sell yourself over to do sin the same way Ahab sold himself to do evil. Jezebel stirred him up, but Ahab sold himself to do evil, says the Bible. He sold himself to do evil. And every time one of these bishops is elevated, you're elevated to the kingdom of self. self-glorification, self-worship. Self-worship, self-worship, self-worship. Now you are told to honor yourself and to respect yourself by having others bow before you and kiss your Episcopal ring and think of you as something that the Bible calls idolatry. You're being told it's okay to be a human idol. But that's a false gospel. You're not supposed to have anybody bow before you. You're not supposed. Notice. Cain names the city after his son, after his efforts, after his doing, after his progeny, after his offspring. Again, Cain, what did Cain do the first time he came before the Lord? He was glorifying himself. This is what I produced from my labor. This is my gospel of works. Well, the Joint College gives birth to people who promote the gospel of works and self-glorification. Notice that Cain does not name the city after God. He wants nothing to do with God. Now, in the godly line, when you find those who follow God in the book of Genesis, as we will see now, if you turn to Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, in Genesis 22:14, Abraham arrives at a place and God meets him and his son Isaac at this place. God meets them both at this place. God tells Abraham, sacrifice thy son, thy only son Isaac. In so doing that same thing, as the knife was coming down, as Abraham's arm was coming down to smite his son, to put the knife in his son's throat, the angel of the Lord says to Abraham, Abraham, there's no need for you to do it. God knows you would have done it. God knows you would have done it. God has seen your heart, and you would have put the dagger in your son. And as Abraham lifts his eyes up, he sees a ram caught in the thicket. The ram represents the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same thing as when Abel brought his lamb before the Lord in Genesis 4. Both lambs speak of a substitutionary atonement, that somebody is to die for our sins on our behalf, a vicar, if you will. A substitute. Somebody's supposed to be put on that altar of sacrifice instead of you. And that was Jesus. Both lambs, both Abel's lamb and both the ram here in Genesis 22, speaks of God's provision for man. That God, as John the Baptist said, has given the world the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. So here, Abraham calls the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, or God my provider. What did God provide? A lamb. A lamb. Notice that Abraham ties the name of the place to God. Cain did no such thing. Cain named it after himself, after his most glorious work, his son. He produced his son. He named it after his son. This is a new beginning, says Cain. This is dedication. This is consecration. This is initiation. This is what I produce. This is what I have built. This is my city. It's named Enoch. It speaks of new beginnings, new consecrations, new initiations for all of my sons and all of my daughters. There's no God mentioned there. There's no initiation to God. There's no consecration to God. There's no dedication to God. It's a dedication to self-glorification. Cain is dedicated to self-glorification, whereas Abraham says, no, if we are to do anything or we're to name anything, it's because God met us there. God met us at. We're God's people. Now, J. Delano Ellis claims that this organization was ordered by the Lord, but why isn't it named after the Lord? Why is it in essence, as he says here on page 17, the name chosen for the organization was the Joint College of African American Pentecost? Well, that's the same as calling it Enoch. It's the same thing as Cain calling the city Enoch. after his son. What did Jay Delano Ellis do? What did they do? They named this organization after their spiritual sons and their spiritual daughters who were to come. This is his version of Enoch. And he, like Cain, sits on top of it as the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. But not Abraham. Abraham had more sense. Abraham worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. Abraham worshiped the Lord. Abraham worshiped the Lord. And he named the place Jehovah Jireh, meaning God was center stage there. God showed up big time. God showed up big time in a salvific way. God redeemed my son. God gave me my son back, and in his place gave me a substitute, gave me a ram, which points to whom? The Messiah. Which points to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now, Jacob, even in his Jacob state, because remember, Jacob is crude here. In Genesis chapter 28, in this passage of scripture, Jacob is still a thief. Jacob is still a supplanter. Jacob is still the twisted one. But despite being a thief, despite having just conned his father, and despite having just stolen the birthright from his brother, despite being carnal and spiritual at the same time, with his carnality many times overcoming his spirituality, when Jacob had an encounter with God, as Jay Delano Ellis claims in his book, again, let me read to you on page 13. And page 13, on the top of the page in the introduction, the first sentence is, when this college was ordered by the Lord. They are referring to, they must have had an encounter, because if it's ordered by the Lord must have appeared to you. The Lord must have spoken to you. You must have had an Abraham and Isaac experience with the Lord. You must have a Jacob experience with the Lord. Now, it says here in Genesis 28:19, and he, Jacob, the one I just referred to, the carnal Jacob, the twisted Jacob, not the transformed Jacob, not the mature Jacob, not the spiritual Jacob, but the Jacob who's wrestling, who can't keep his flesh under control, that Jacob who still covets, who's got many knots in him, many warts, that Jacob had enough sense. He was an archbishop. He wasn't anything special. He wasn't anything to write home about. But he had enough sense that when he met God at Luz, he said, and he called the name of the place Bethel. What does Bethel mean? House of God. This is God's house. I'm not going to call it Beth Jacob. It's not going to be Jacob's house. I'm not going to build a city here for Jacob. This is not where I'm going to establish my empire. He didn't call it Beth Jacob. He said Bethel, house of the strong one, the one who's going to straighten me out, the one who's going to take me and take out all the knots and take out all the warts, the one who's going to give me one makeover after the other, the one who will transform me. And in the end, he'll transform me, and the evidence will be that I'll get a new name, and it will mean Prince of God, Prince of El. But notice, Jacob didn't say, well, this is where I'm going to build my city, and this is God appeared to me here, and I'm going to, no. He said, this is the house of God, not the house of Jacob, the house of God, the house of God. You see, those who follow the Lord, and they're not perfect people, by no means. They're not perfect, but they have enough sense to honor God. Every time God meets them, every time they have an encounter with God, every time God gives them another revelation of himself, they document it by naming it after God. Well, the Joint College of African American Bishops was not named after God. It was named Enoch. In essence, it's called Enoch. In other words, this is self-called. This is my organization. It's an organization. It's a monument to self. And he recorded it here, and he made a point of recording who founded it and who came out on top. Four men founded the organization, but he was elected to preside over this venture. He is the Cain. The name chosen for the organization is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, a.k.a. the Joint College of Bishops. Does it mention anything about Christ? Does it mention anything about God the Father? Does it mention the Holy Ghost? Absolutely not. Because, again, the Joint College. The Joint College is J. Delano Ellis's baby. It's his baby. It's his monument to self. To self-aggrandizement. To self-glory. Go to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. Again. This is Jacob. Jacob in his still. He's still in a state where he's battling his flesh. He hasn't dominated his flesh. He has not completely brought his flesh under control. Jacob is still half-baked. Still not there. Still not purged of himself. Yet he has enough sense in Genesis 32, 1 and 2, to call the name of the place Mahanaim. It says in Genesis 32, chapter 32, verses 1 and 2, and Jacob, notice, not Israel, Jacob, the supplanter, Jacob, the kind of guy that when he comes around, you better make sure that your wallet is in your front pocket and you have your hand on your wallet in your front pocket. He's a pickpocket. He's a schmoozer. He can sell ice to Eskimos. That's right. That's this Jacob. Still can't trust him. And when Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him, whose angels? God's angels met him. When the angels of God met him and when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. This is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim, which means double camp. Notice the I am ending in the word Mahanaim. I am in Hebrew is plural. It means there's two camps. There's my camp made up of human people, made up of humans, made up of those people traveling, my family, my children, my wives, the people who work for me, we make up one camp, and the angels make up another camp, two camps. Again, in Genesis 32:30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I have wrestled with God. My cheekbone was against his cheekbone. We were wrestling. We were mano a mano. I have seen God. The sun rose, and I got a glimpse of him, and my life is preserved. And it's not just God. I saw the strong one. I saw Peniel, the face of the El. I saw the face of the strong one, and I survived. I'm alive to tell the story. And he named the name of the place. He didn't name it after Jacob. He didn't say, I'm going to name this place Jacob Victorious because I wrestled and I... No. It's the focus is I saw God. I had a revelation of God, and it changed me. And as it changed me, he changed my name. Now, in this dopey, asinine name of the Joint College of African American Bishops, there's no mention, there's no evidence, there's nothing here of transformation. This is just a Cain naming this new organization as any Cain would after himself. If he is the Archbishop Metropolitan, then he named it the Joint College of African American Bishops. It's his little spiritual city, if you will. It's his little spiritual city, if you will. This is Jay Delano Ellis's little empire. It's a monument to self. And it's a monument of self-glorification for anyone who joins. He's got people joining this thing, and it's about self. I know you're tired of hearing these two clips, but what you're going to hear here is all self. What you're going to hear in these two clips is one Cain, one Elder Cain, initiating, dedicating, consecrating a new Enoch. This is a Cain consecrating an Enoch. This is an Episcopal Cain consecrating an Episcopal Enoch. This is an apostate Cain consecrating an apostate Enoch in these two clips that you're going to hear. Because all it is about two people here. It's about Jay Delano Ellis, and he is creating another bishop. It's about him and the new bishop. It's about Cain, and it's about Enoch. It's about the glorification of the two and how the younger one will preserve the memory of the older one. All of these bishops who belong to this organization are all going to say, I am a spiritual son and spiritual daughter of Jay Delano Ellis. In essence, only these little Enochs, all of these apostate Enochs, these are all apostate Enochs. And I will show you tomorrow as we do the last one on Cain. We got one more proposition to do on Cain tomorrow. One more to do tomorrow. And I will show you that there are two Enochs in the Bible, two Enochs with two different destinies. Both Enochs, both names mean dedication, initiation, and consecration. But one Enoch went to heaven, the other Enoch focused on earth. This organization, the Joint College of African American Bishops, is an organization focused on earth. It's earthly, it's worldly, it's terrestrial, and it's doomed. When the heart of church goes down in Revelation 17, the Joint College of African American Bishops will go down with it. When the heart of church burns to the ground in Revelation 18, so will the Joint College of African American Bishops burn down to the ground. Because it's an earthly organization established by worldly minded men. Here's the clip. Here's the clip, dear saints. It's coming up. Mr. Ellis, I'm so sorry. I've forgotten to give you the number. I got so heated, Mr. Ellis. I got so heated. Here is the number, Mr. Ellis, 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730. I would hope that this man would call. I don't know that he's going to call. Here is Jay Delano Ellis talking about his coat of arms. Here's Jay Delano talking about, now, when did Jesus, in ordaining the apostles, ever give them a coat of arms? It's called heraldry. H-E-R-A-L-D-Y. H-E-R-A-L-D-Y, heraldry. Only people who think that they're the elites have coat of arms. And this is all bogus. Listen, you're only two generations removed from picking cotton. Come on now. You and I are only two generations removed from having been in the South picking cotton. And you're going to have a coat of arms? You're going to walk around trying to bamboozle me? My great-grandfather was picking cotton next to your great-grandfather. They had no shoes. They had no teeth. They had no education. I mean, they had no form of schooling. They had no teeth. I mean, they had no shoes, and they probably had one pair of holy pants. And one shirt with a bunch of holes in it. No deodorant, no mouthwash, no nothing. And you're going to tell, now you're going to walk around with a coat of arms? And you're going to tell me to bow down in front of you and kiss your Episcopal ring? when not too long ago, we were plowing the same field? This is self-glorification. This is delusion. Here's J. Delano Ellis. Here he is.
That only bishops should wear is the prophet's coat. It is the symbol of inheriting the prophetic office, the principal preacher of Rapha. The stole she's receiving will have coat of arms on it. She'll get another one from the joint college.
See, you don't get any of this stuff until you join. In other words, you don't get a coat of arms, you don't get a ring, you don't get the ceremony, you don't get inducted into the club, you don't get the special privileges until you sign on the dotted line, until you sell your soul to the devil. That's how this works. You first gotta give in, you gotta sell, you gotta do like Dr. Faustus. The devil's gonna come a knocking and he's gonna offer you immortality, and you like Dr. Faustus, you want immortality, you want fame, you want fortune, and you sign. And after you sign, then you get the jackass suit. Now you gotta trot around knowing you're a field jackass. Only good for plowing, but here you are trotting like a thorough. You're acting like a thoroughbred. You're acting like one of the king's horses, but in reality, you're nothing but a jackass. And here he is telling this woman she's going to get coat of arms soon. You'll get it from the college. This is Cain speaking to Enoch. This is consecration, initiation, and dedication. But all of this is not of God. There's no God in any of this. This is not Bible. If there was Bible in it, it would be of God. But there's no God. This is all man-made. It's Cain hijacking the word Enoch and putting his own worldly spin on Enoch. Here's more.
But she has her own coat of arms. This seal says the Sigillum Episcopus Jacqueline E. McCullough, and then this year MMXV, meaning 2015 AD. Sigillum Episcopus, meaning the seal of Bishop Jacqueline McCullough. She has the shepherd's staff, the dove with the olive branch, the word of God uppermost on her crest, and the cross of Christ's crucifixion to the right of her.
Well, they should include in that coat of arms, they should put a bale of hay, they should put some oats, and they should put a salt block there for the jackass.
Crest is my coat of arms as her chief consecrator.
Woo, as her chief consecrator, see? He's the Cain, she's the Enoch. And it's all about self. This whole ceremony, there's nothing about Jesus here. This is all about self. This is all about self-glorification. Her coat of arms, my coat of arms, the college will give her coat of arms. She's going to have all kinds of coat of arms. She's in the club now. She's special now. Because I made her special. Because this is not of God. You cannot find this ceremony in the Bible. Can't find the ceremony in the Bible. It's just not there. But here's more. Here's more.
Her ring, a symbol of government and collegiality with her fellow bishops. She is one among all of us. This is her ring, symbol of authority. and we respect her, truthfully, you don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. Get it on. You get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out.
See, I honor you. It's not about honoring Christ. It's about me honoring you. Now you're into self. I honor you. You can't hug her. You can't touch her. It's like you have the plague, and she doesn't want you to spread the plague. She doesn't want you to touch her. You're beneath her. In fact, when you come up to her, you got to genuflect, you got to bow, and then you got to kiss the ring. That's how you can approach this person now. She's somebody now. She's somebody. And this woman is drinking this Kool-Aid. She's drinking the Kool-Aid of self-worship, self-glorification. Because that's what Cain peddles. He peddled it. He drank it. He concocted the Kool-Aid. He loves the taste of the Kool-Aid. And now he's getting others to drink the Kool-Aid.
Shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Peace, Bishop.
Oh, I didn't know that. Just read up. How you, Bishop? Put your hand down and just speak.
Amen.
And, you know, gentlemen with class know when she extends her hand with that ring, we just simply salute her by kissing the ring. We ain't got to hug and squeeze and bang her into us. Don't do that. She's a bishop. She's a bishop. Bishops that will, in a minute, you can come and salute her and go back to your seat.
This is bizarre. But you see, this is what Cain does, and I'm just breaking it down for you. Now, here's another clip of him consecrating another person, and this is J. Delano Ellis, again, Cain, consecrating a new Enoch, a new bishop, if you will.
These are his armor bearers. I give you the shepherd's staff in your left hand. In your left hand. The only thing you hold in your right hand is the word of God, but you keep your right hand free to bless and free to greet the people, free to receive their respect and their adulation.
To receive the people's adulation is to receive their worship. Again, that's what the Oxford Dictionary says adulation is. In fact, let me pull it out. Let me put out the Oxford Thesaurus. Let me quickly look up the word adulation. I have it underlined anyway because it's a word we've discussed here before. Adulation. 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 Here it is. Adulation. This is what the word adulation means. It means hero worship. Hero worship. Idolization. You have the word idol. I-D-O-L-I-Z-A-T-I-O-N. Idolization. This man has become an idol. That's why it's important to know the English language when people throw these words out. What is it exactly that they're saying? He says, turn around, keep your hand free that you might receive. Now, why is he keeping the hand free? Well, it's the ring hand. And people are going to run to him and bow in front of him and receive their adulation, receive their hero worship, receive their idolization. He's an idol now. The word adulation also means adoration, veneration, glorification. That's what it means, folks. It's right here. This is the worship of self. It's a consecration center. It's a dedication center. It is an initiation center that glorifies self. It is a self-glorification center, and this is J. Delano Ellis's baby. The Joint College of African American Bishops is J. Delano's baby, just like Enoch was Cain's baby. Enough said. J. Delano Ellis never called. Shame on him. And I'll be back tomorrow with proposition number 86. But as I conclude, proposition 85 reads, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has established an apostate self-glorification center. Yes, he has. Shame on you. Saints, I'll be back tomorrow with proposition number 86. God bless you.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And all this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them above. Let goods and kindred